The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have a hard time preaching today. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So in, there are pages falling out of your Bible, Don. This is a well-loved Bible. In real estate, the big thing that they always say is location, location, location. When you're reading the scripture, the big thing is, anybody?
Location.
Location, location, context, where a scripture occurs in the story. So in our story for today, the apostles, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, say to him, "Increase our faith." But if you noticed when that scripture was up on the screen, it starts with verse 5. And what you might not know if you only paid attention to our scripture reading today is that the disciples, when they say to Jesus, "Increase our faith," they are actually responding to something that Jesus has already said. So it's helpful, I think, to know what Jesus says to the disciples that makes them or causes them to respond, "Increase our faith." So if you go all the way back to chapter 17, beginning with verse 1, Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times a day and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." When the disciples say to Jesus, "Increase our faith," they are responding to his call for forgiveness. Jesus lays out the basics of what it looks like to be one of his followers, forgiving those who repent of their sins, who come to you, who ask for forgiveness 7 times a day. And the disciples hear that, this basic understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, and they think, "Uh-oh, we do not have enough faith. We do not have enough faith to live into what Jesus is calling us to live into this life of forgiveness. Lord, increase our faith." And Jesus' response to them is not to say, "Okay, cool, here's some more faith. Now go out and be the people that I'm calling you to be." Jesus says to them, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, every time I read this text, I think to myself, I have never been able to say to a mulberry tree, "Be uprooted and planted in the sea," and never has it obeyed me. So my faith must be much smaller than a mustard seed. But I think the heart of what Jesus is getting at here, and something that we often that we often miss as Lutherans, because for Lutherans, we often define faith as believing a certain set of intellectual principles. If you can sign on to the creeds and the Lord's Prayer and the Ten Commandments and believe that Jesus died and was raised again, then you have faith because you intellectually, you mentally believe those things. But for followers of Jesus, for Jesus himself, faith was not signing on to a list of intellectual principles. Faith was trust. Faith was trusting in God to lead and guide. Faith was trusting that when folks sinned against you and repented and you forgave them, that reconciliation and community and new life could come out of that experience. You may have seen on the news or social media or any number of other places images from the sentencing of Amber Geiger this week. Amber Geiger was the police officer, the young woman who walked into an apartment that was not her own and saw a black man sitting on the couch and shot him and killed him because she thought that he was an intruder in her apartment. And her trial has been going on for a while. This happened up in Dallas. And following the trial and her sentencing, the brother of the victim told her that he forgave her, and he asked the judge if he could come up and give her a hug. And there have been lots of Christians and people of faith applauding his decision to forgive, applauding the hug that he gave her and the image of that moment. But as I watched people's reaction to that, I began to be a little bit uneasy. And I began to see some articles pop up that helped me to articulate what it was that made me so uneasy about us celebrating this moment of forgiveness. There was a Facebook post that went viral, and it was written by a woman named, her name's on the wrong sheet, Stephanie R. Strong. And she said, her post was titled, "From White Folks to White Folks." I see a lot of my white Facebook friends posting about Botham Jean's brother's forgiveness of Amber Geiger. That is definitely important to lift up. However, I think it is important to provide for my white Facebook friends a perspective I see many of my black friends lifting up, which is well put by Pastor Michael W. Waters of Dallas, Texas. And this is all in quotations of Pastor Waters. "Do not, I repeat, do not attempt to preach or teach Christian forgiveness in the context of the Amber Geiger trial and sentencing if you lack a comprehensive understanding of how white people in this nation have long weaponized black forgiveness in order to escape accountability and ease their consciousness. If your view of Christian forgiveness comes at the cost of pursuing justice, you have turned forgiveness into a weapon of mass destruction. Take heed. If you only choose to quote Brant Jean and not also Mother Allison Jean in your reflections this week, you have failed. Let me further explain. The church has used Christian forgiveness to send spouses back to their abusers, and their abusers have killed them. The church has used Christian forgiveness to mute victims of incest, rape, and other forms of sexual assault and harassment. The church has used Christian forgiveness to quell quests for justice from the days of American slavery to today. The church has used Christian forgiveness to opt out of its responsibility to stand for justice and righteousness. Beware of those who call for forgiveness comes at the cost of justice." So what do we do with all of this? Lord, increase our faith. Our cry could be this morning. How do we move through this world that is so full of injustice, that is so full of pain, this world that is so full of people crying out for peace when there is no peace? How do we forgive 7 times a day when people come to us and ask for our forgiveness? We say to the Lord, increase our faith. I think for the disciples, this might be one of the most faithful prayers that they have ever prayed. It might be the one time that they see before them what following Jesus is going to ask of them and require of them and demand of them. What it is going to put on their hearts and their spirits as they follow in the way of Christ, and where it might end for them. And they recognize that they cannot do this alone, that they cannot do it without the power of Jesus Christ within them, beside them, moving them forward. And so Jesus responds to them, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. If we have faith the size of a mustard seed, if we have trust in this God of reconciliation and redemption, of justice and peace, if we trust that forgiveness and following in this path is ultimately what is going to lead us to new life, if we engage in these conversations, these hard and heartbreaking conversations, together in faithfulness, recognizing that we are going to mess it up and that we were going to do it wrong and that we are going to be the ones who need to ask for forgiveness 7 times a day, if we trust that the Holy Spirit is going to be present, that the Holy Spirit is going to uproot injustice, is going to uproot white supremacy, is going to uproot all of those things that keep us disconnected from our neighbors and our communities, if we trust that God is going to uproot that mulberry tree and cast it into the sea, then there is no telling what Jesus can do with a tiny mustard seed. Thanks be to God.